We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears its heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com. Psalm 119, verse 126 and following says this: "It is time for the Lord to act, for they have broken your law. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem right all your precepts concerning everything. I hate every false way." Well, good Tuesday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and I'm glad to get to speak to you this morning. I want to talk to you about an article that I read yesterday from Al Mohler. It came out on my social media feed, and it is titled, "The Train is Leaving the Station, Andy Stanley's Departure from Biblical Christianity." And it's an article about an upcoming conference that Andy Stanley is putting on at his church, North Point Community Church in Georgia. It's called the Unconditional Conference. It's billed as a two-day premier event, especially designed for parents of LGBTQ plus children and ministry leaders. The conference promises you will be equipped, refreshed, and inspired as you hear from leading communicators on topics that speak to your heart, soul, and mind. It says this conference is designed, no matter what theological stance you hold, we invite you to listen, reflect, and learn as we approach this topic from the quieter middle space. Well, that sounds good until you dig in and find out that two of the speakers are married to other men, Justin Lee and Brian Netzel. Both men are in what is described as same-sex marriages. Justin Lee is well known as a platform speaker who argues for the legitimacy of monogamous same-sex relationships. And Brian Netzel presents seminars on, quote, restoring LGBTQ plus faith. And now Mohler goes on to say, just to be clear, this is not, quote, quieter middle space. Now, he says in his article, Andy Stanley, one of the most influential pastors in the United States, has been moving in this direction for years, often by suggestion and assertion, but clouded by confusion and the deliberate avoidance of clarity. Now, if you've followed Andy at all and listened to some of the things that he's said, Andy Stanley is the son of the late, great Charles Stanley. Charles Stanley, who was solid on biblical truth, who preached the Word of God, who loved the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, who didn't equivocate on issues related to the Word of God, and especially as they impacted the culture. But Andy is not like that at all. And so that's why Al Mohler calls it the train is leaving the station. He gives him the benefit of the doubt, and he said, well, maybe he's going to use this to come out strongly on behalf of what the Scripture says regarding same-sex marriage, regarding same-sex attraction, regarding homosexuality. But Al doesn't hold much hope for that, because that's not what Andy has been indicating for the last several years. This is a clip from Andy from I don't know how long ago, maybe a year or so ago. Listen to what he says about, quote, gay Christians.
Figure out how to get straight people as excited about serving and engaging as the gay men and women I know, we would have a volunteer backlog. That's my experience in our churches. Well, I'm a gay person, I'll just read it to you. A gay person, when I say gay men and women, okay, A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you. A gay person who knows, you know what? I might not be accepted here, but I'm going to try it anyway. Have you ever done that as a straight person? Where do you go that you're not sure you're going to be accepted and you go over and over and over and over? Only your in-law's house. That's the only place you go where you know you're not completely accepted, but you go over and over and over, and it's because you have to. But other than the in-laws, what environment do you continue to step foot in knowing at any moment you may feel ostracized? No place. I'm telling you, the gay men and women who grew up in church and the gay men and women who've come to faith in Christ as adults who want to participate in our church, oh my goodness. I know 1 Corinthians 6 and I know Leviticus and I know Romans 1. It's so interesting to talk about all that stuff. But just, oh my goodness, a gay man or woman who wants to worship their heavenly Father, who did not answer the cry of their heart when they were 12 and 13 and 14 and 15. God said no, and they still love God. We have some things to learn from a group of men and women who love Jesus that much and who want to worship with us. And I know the verses. I know the clobber passages, right? We got to figure this out. And you know what? I think you are.
Well, that was Andy Stanley saying we have to figure this out. He knows all the clobber passages. The clobber passages are clear passages in Scripture that tell us this is wrong. So how do you figure it out? Well, you go to the Word of God and say, God, what do you say about this subject? Oh, that's what you say. And it's not a clouded discussion in the Word of God. It's not unclear as to what God says about it, what he thinks about that. God made them male and female. That speaks to the issue of transgenderism today. And it's one man, one woman for life. And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So that speaks to many things in our country regarding marriage. We are to, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That's what God has designed. And the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church, and he's to nourish her and cherish her. And a wife is to see to it that she respect her husband. And when a husband does his job, when a wife does her job, there's a wonderful love there. There's harmony there. There's an opportunity to have a great marriage and a great family. And unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. And then God says, listen, marriage is not between a man and a man or a woman and a woman. Marriage is between a man and a woman. And so this idea that we have to figure this out and that Andy would use this this point to say, well, look at these people. We need to be so in love with Jesus like they are. And, you know, we have so much to learn from quote-unquote gay Christians. Well, listen, you've heard me say this before. There are no adjective Christians. There are not gay Christians. There are not trans Christians. There are not adulterous Christians. If you have to put a sin and connect it to Christian, newsflash, you're not a Christian because it doesn't work that way. The Lord came to save us from our sins, not save us in our sins and leave us in sin and say, okay, well, yeah, just do whatever you want and just tack me on and show the world how you love me. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he who has my commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. And so to say, as he said, well, they're just, you know, we have a lot to learn about how much they love Jesus because they're coming in to a place where the church doesn't accept them. Well, listen, the church is a place, it's a hospital for broken, sick, hurting people. And you can come to the Lord, just as Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's an invitation to those who are broken down, to those who are hurting, to those who are ready to throw in the towel. The Lord says, come to me and receive forgiveness. But you don't come holding on to your sin. You don't come and you have sutured your sin to your personhood and say, well, Lord, I'm coming to you, but you better approve this, because as one man told me that I was witnessing to years ago, Jeff, I like my sex and I like my beer. He wasn't married. He was committing fornication, and he liked to get drunk. I like my sex and I like my beer, so I'm not giving those up. I was like, well, okay, well, you can't come to the Lord holding on to your sin. God is holy, holy, holy. So this conference is supposed to be a quieter middle space, but it's not. It's going to be a gay affirming, by all indications, a gay affirming conference, and trying to make people feel good in their sin and with their kids' sin. You know, parents don't know what to do. Well, my son, my daughter, they say they're gay, or we don't hear that as much as my son or daughter now say they're not a son or a daughter anymore. They, hey, I'm really a man trapped in a woman's body. I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. And what do I do about that? What do you do about it? You tell them the truth. I mean, number one, you start off, obviously, you speak the truth in love to your child. But it's not something that should be a mystery, a puzzle. Well, I'm just not sure. Well, you can be sure. Your XY chromosome child is a male, and they will always be a male. Your XX chromosomed daughter or child, we'll say that, XX, well, they're a female. And they'll always be a female, no matter what they do to the outside. It will not change who God has created them to be. And so that's what you say to your kids. And you go back to the Word of God. And Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. It's a psalm, a long psalm, lots of verses in Psalm 119. But I esteem right, he says in Psalm 119:128, with the verse before, I love your commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem right all your precepts concerning most things? No, concerning everything. I hate every false way. Hey, in another part, it says, I lift my hands, this is in Psalm 119, I lift my hands to your commandments, which I love. Now you think about that, lifting your hands. Lifting your hands, that's a universal sign in our world of surrender. I still remember the first Iraqi war, and our American troops couldn't speak the language of the Iraqis, but they knew what the Iraqis were saying when they put their guns down and raised their hands. That means I surrender. That's the universal sign of surrender. And it says in Psalm 119, I lift my hands to your commandments, which I love. I surrender myself to those. Now, I may not understand why God says everything he says, but I'm going to lift my hands to those commandments, which I love, and I'm going to do my study into approach the Word of God saying, this is right. Anything that doesn't appear right or seem right to me is not that there's something wrong with the Word of God. It's I am deficient in understanding, because my God is good. He's holy. He is lovely. He is perfect. And I don't place myself above God's Word as if I am more righteous than God. I'm going to sit in judgment of God's Word, because after all, I am much more wise and knowledgeable and righteous than God. What a joke. I mean, we come before the Lord and we say, Lord, I have a little teacup brain, and your understanding and your wisdom and your knowledge are like the Pacific Ocean. And you know things that I don't know, and your ways are not my ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts. And so I come not in not in judgment of the Word of God. I come yielded to the Word of God. I lift my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I esteem right all your precepts concerning everything. I esteem right how you set up human relationships and how you set up marriage and what is in bounds and what is out of bounds. And I speak the truth in love to a lost and dying generation. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we're talking about the Andy Stanley Conference. As Al Mohler said, the train is leaving the station. Don't go away. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the Al Mohler article that came out yesterday in World of Publication. The train is leaving the station, Andy Stanley's departure from biblical Christianity. Now, maybe you don't know who Andy Stanley is. He's one of the most influential pastors in the United States. He has a church with 8 locations in the North Metro Atlanta, Georgia area. He averages over 38,000 in attendance each weekend, and he has many more that listen to him online. Very, very influential. He's written a lot of books, and they've sold extremely well. Andy's a very, very gifted communicator, both in the spoken word and in the written word, but as Al points out, he's going off the track, and it's very sad to see. But what is the problem? Now, he has come out, and as Al points out, he's very confusing, and no doubt confused himself when it comes to the issue of homosexuality. He's very confused when it comes to the issue of what is a church. You know, he's the guy that during COVID shut down his church for a whole year and lost a lot of people as a result of that, because people wanted to go to church, and Andy was like, well, we can't put on the church unless we have enough people, and we don't want to put people at risk, and you know, we can only put on so many masks. And I'm adding that in, he didn't really say that, but anyway, they didn't have church for a long, long time. You know, when the COVID thing hit at First Baptist Texarkana, we shut down like pretty much every other church did for a short period of time. You know, we were told 2 weeks to 15 days to stop the spread and slow the curve or flatten the curve. And, you know, we were kind of bracing for the bubonic plague. And when it turned out it wasn't that, we started back up on Mother's Day. And that's when we had our first service. So we were only doing live stream for a few weeks, and then we were back to gathering for church, because the word church, the ecclesia, is the gathering together, the assembling of God's people. But he shut down for a whole year and took a lot of flack for it. But when you back up with Andy Stanley and many that follow in his footsteps and are influenced by his teaching, what is the problem? Well, the problem, as it is always the problem, indeed has God said? Question mark. The first thing out of the devil's mouth to a human being puts a question mark on the Word of God. And so with Andy, he's not esteeming right all God's precepts concerning everything. He's saying, well, wait a minute, hold on. I don't think this is right. I don't think that is right. Well, listen to his own words regarding biblical inerrancy, and then listen to Pastor John MacArthur in his response to those who would question biblical inerrancy.
I deal with Adam and Eve. I'm quick to say, hey, this is one of those odd stories. This is that story you heard growing up about two naked people running around in a garden. And who can believe that? And there are many creation myths.
Thou shalt not obey the Ten Commandments. So no, we don't believe in the resurrection because the Bible tells us so. And the question is simply this, but Andy, okay, I get all that. But Andy, the Bible is how we know about the resurrection. Actually, it's not. We don't know about the resurrection because of the Bible. Do you know how? We don't know about the resurrection because of the Bible. The Bible did not create Christianity. Christians did not create Christianity. The resurrection actually created both. And that's why we celebrate. Now, the Christian faith did not begin with Genesis. Jesus' teaching, and this is kind of new for us sometimes to understand. Jesus' teaching was not the driving force of his movement.
Start with the Bible says the Bible. I mean, you can. The Bible says the Bible says the Bible says. But here's the thing. Everybody else now knows what else the Bible says. So now I'm beginning to spit and match on a six-day creation, young earth, old earth, Levitical law, homosexuality. I mean, it's like, oh gosh, you know, we're.
The way we can get there, Andy, is by saying the Bible says.
No, we don't have to say that.
If I could finish the thought, the Bible says that Jesus rose again from the dead.
It actually doesn't say that.
To a person who says that he is a Christian but denies the inerrancy of Scripture, I would say several things. You are denying God's own claim for the Bible. You're denying what God, the Holy Spirit, who authored Scripture, says about Scripture, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that every word is pure, that the Scripture is God-breathed. Not only that, not only those explicit statements are you denying, but you're denying every time in Scripture it says, thus says the Lord. And then you're denying the overall superintending power of God over his revelation. Now, what that does, essentially, is say this. You are the judge of Scripture. You've just made yourself the authority over the Bible. So you're going to be the one we have to trust to tell us what's true and what's not true in the Bible. And here's the problem with that. If you deny inerrancy, the only reason you would ever deny inerrancy would be essentially to deny something in the Bible that you don't like. And when you've done that, you've now said what the Bible says about that, it can't be true, it's not true. Once you have broken the link in the chain, how do we know that anything is true? So when the Bible claims inspiration for all of it, and you break that, then where do you go? How do you trust any of it? You could start, for example, say, well, I don't believe Genesis 1 and 2. I don't believe in a six-day creation. I believe in some kind of evolutionary process. That's not in Genesis 1 and 2. So the question is, if that's not true, what else isn't true? And who's the person that's going to tell us what else isn't true? And what isn't true is hiding something that is true, and where do we go for that? You literally unravel the Scripture if you deny its inerrancy.
So those were excerpts from Andy Stanley's own teaching. Now, some might say, well, hey, those were cut off and we didn't get the full scope of what he was saying. And I understand that. But you get the flavor of where he's going on these arguments. And I have maintained that any pastor that stands behind the pulpit and is trying to get people to question the Word of God, to doubt the Word of God, rather than to be solid in the Word of God, as John MacArthur is constantly saying, hey, the Bible is God-breathed. You may not like what it says because you don't. You're a sinner and you want it to say something else that would approve of your sin, but we have to, as Christians, lift our hands to his commandments, which we love, and say, yes, Lord, I surrender. Not my will, but yours be done. And so Andy is doing a tremendous disservice and doing tremendous damage to the kingdom by espousing what he espouses and by getting people, the 38,000 plus that come each weekend to his eight different campuses, to get him to question the Word of God. Adrian Rogers said this in a sermon I heard years and years and years ago. He's preaching on Genesis chapter 3. I've never forgotten it. He said this in typical Adrian fashion. Any man, any woman, any boy, any girl, anybody, anywhere who puts a question mark after the Word of God is doing the work of the devil. That's what the devil does. Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Question mark. He takes the word, he twists the word very slightly, and then he adds a question mark to get you to question the word, to doubt the word, to question the goodness of God, to doubt the goodness of God. And we say, well, God is love. Surely, as Andy said in that one clip from his, the first clip we played about a sermon, that these people were praying to God and God didn't answer their prayer. And I'm assuming what he meant by that was they were praying, God, take this away. They were trying to, quote unquote, pray the gay away, and God didn't take it away, and God didn't respond to their prayer. And so God left them in this state, and so they've embraced this state, and they love God. They still love God, even though he didn't answer their prayer, and we need to learn from them. And it's just ridiculous, and it is doing tremendous damage. Well, we go back to this passage of Scripture often. The last chapter, I talked about this last week with Tom Askell as we dealt with the issue in the Southern Baptist Convention regarding women pastors. Paul's solemn charge to Timothy, the last chapter he ever penned before he was killed. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom. That ought to give fear to every pastor. I'm going to have to stand before God and give an account of what I preached. And this is a solemn charge. What am I solemnly charged to do? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. As I was taught as a young Christian, that means when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. Preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Those three things, reprove, rebuke, exhort, two of those three are not very pleasant. Nobody really likes to get reproved. Nobody really likes to get rebuked. But that's what we all have to have as we come to the Word of God, which is true north. And all of us have a tendency to get off a degree or two or three or four or five, whatever it is. And so we come back to the Word and it takes us back to true north. It reproves us, it rebukes us, and then it exhorts us, it encourages us. And that's the job of the preacher. And he goes on to say, the time will come, and the time is definitely here, when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't tolerate it. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. That's what's going on in many, many pulpits across America. That's definitely going on at North Point Community Church. Andy Stanley obviously believes this, and he's teaching his folks this, and he's trying to unhitch from the Old Testament and teaching his people, thou shalt not obey the Ten Commandments. It's just ludicrous. It's idiotic what he is doing. Now, Andy is a smart, smart guy, and I'm not sitting in judgment of him as a person. I don't know him, but I can tell you that what he is doing damage, and it is not consistent with what the Bible tells us. And as John MacArthur clearly said, whenever you start attacking inerrancy, it's because you have a problem with some part of the Scripture. You can't settle that in your own mind. As he said, you know, we need to discover about this stuff. We need to learn about this stuff. We need to figure this stuff out, I think is the terminology that he used. Well, I've figured it out because I've looked into the Word of God. Thus says the Lord. And God is not ambiguous in how we're supposed to understand human sexuality. Listen to this from 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter 2 and Jude. Jude's only one chapter. They are very, very similar, and they deal with false prophets and false teachers. Says this in verse 4, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter. You know, it was J.D. Greer who said, you know, we need to be careful and shout where God shouts and whisper where God whispers. And he made the inference that God whispers when it comes to sexual sin. God rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah and two lesser cities of the plain, Adma and Zeboim. He destroyed them from heaven, fire and brimstone from heaven. That is a major exclamation point. That is a shout that will blow eardrums. And God says, he says it again in 2 Peter 2, I did that to make an example to those who would live ungodly thereafter. So all of us should take note. Hey, what does God think about the sin of homosexuality? The men of Sodom, Genesis chapter 13, were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord. And when the two angels came in to rescue, to check on the city and then rescue Lot and his family, they tried all night, the men of the city. They wanted to have sexual relations with those men. They came in looking like men, and they wearied themselves all night as they were struck with blindness to find the door. And so that they could rape these two men. That is sexual immorality off the chart. And no wonder God destroyed them with fire from heaven. Well, that's an example to you and to me. That's what God thinks of the sin of homosexuality. And here's the good news. Anyone in that lifestyle can be set free. You can be forgiven. You can be cleansed. You can be changed from the inside out. That is not the unpardonable sin, but it is a sin. And if you don't recognize it as sin, you can never be forgiven. And you will, Jesus said, unless you believe I am he, you will all die in your sins. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And we don't hold on to sin, we repent of sin. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're up against a break, but when we come back, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I would love to hear from you as we talk about this important subject that is all over the news, that is all over our culture, that is saturating families, marriages, homes, destroying lives. We need to talk about it, and we need to stand firm in the truth and lift our hands to the Lord's commandments, which we love. We'll be right back. According to a recent study of hundreds of post-abortive women, 60% of women reported that they would have preferred to give birth if they had received more support from others or had financial security. And that's where preborn steps in. Preborn is there for women in their darkest hour, deciding between the life and death of their precious child. You see, the reality is women are being pressured to make this fatal decision and are being told that their babies are just a clump of cells. Well, preborn welcomes women with God's love and introduces them to the beautiful life growing inside of them, which doubles their baby's chances at life. When you support preborn, you not only support women, you empower them. Your donation of $28 will help a woman to make a choice that she won't have to regret for the rest of her life and gives her the ultimate blessing, life. Your love can save a baby. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, B-A-B-Y, or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We've been talking today about Al Mohler's article in World Magazine, The Train is Leaving the Station. It was written on September, or it was posted on September 18th, just yesterday, and talking about Andy's upcoming conference called the Unconditional Conference, in which he is going to encourage parents of LGBTQ plus children and ministry leaders. He says you'll be equipped, refreshed, and inspired as you hear from leading communicators on topics that speak to your heart, soul, and mind. And he has two men speaking who are married to men, and a woman who is a pastor, and it's just going to be a disaster for those who believe the scripture. I mean, that's my take on it, and that's pretty much what Al thinks. It's going to be a disaster, and it's going to affirm people. And you know, as I said to you, a church is a hospital for hurting people. That's what we're designed to do. A church is not a country club for the rich and famous. It's not a place where you have it all together. It's a place where you go, where you can find hope and help in the Lord Jesus Christ. What it is not, and this is what happens to many churches that are coddling the world, it is not a hospice center. You know, we have hospice centers in Texarkana. One is just a wonderful place, led by a lady in our church, and it helps people in those dying moments and those dying days, and it makes them comfortable until they pass away. Well, that's what a lot of churches have become. Hospitals hurt you in order to help you. Hey, you go to a hospital, you're going to have surgery. As one doctor told me when I tore my patella tendon in my knee, he said, you need surgery. I said, it's bad. He said, yes, you need surgery and you have to have it. I said, Dr. Brawny, is it going to hurt? He said, you bet. And it did. It really hurt. But I couldn't really walk without my patella tendon, and he fixed it. And now I can walk. So hospitals hurt you in order to help you. What does the church do? What is coming to Jesus? When you come to Jesus, you have to be broken over your sin. There has to be repentance. Like the woman in Luke 7, the prostitute who wept at his feet. There is a brokenness so that there can be a forgiveness from the Lord. And unless you repent, Jesus said, you will all likewise perish. If you hold on to your sin and you make it part of your personhood, you can never be forgiven. You can never be set free. People that preach a gospel, a false gospel, without repentance are they're putting arsenic cyanide in the Tylenol capsules. They are poisoning people, and people come there thinking they're being helped, and they're really being sedated into believing a lie that will take them all the way to hell. We're not to be a hospice center. We're a hospital, and we speak the truth in love. Those who respond to the truth, they are forgiven, saved, set free. Those who don't and who rail against the truth, there is no hope for them, because the only hope we have is in Jesus. And there's only one way, as the song says, one way to peace, and that is through the power of the cross. There is a way, the Bible says, Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. The only way to come is God's way. Well, we're opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we have Levi on the line from Texas. Levi, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Jeff, and thank you for taking my call. I had the pleasure of meeting you there at your one of your meetings on Wednesday night, and really enjoyed that in your church.
Well, thank you.
Jeff, my comment that I wanted to make was, earlier in life, before I was a Christian, around about 81, I happened to be around a meeting of these homosexuals, and at that time, there was the guy leading the meeting was writing on the blackboard the name of a senator and the name of a few advertising agencies and people that supported that lifestyle before it was so blatant as it is today. And he was having people handwrite letters in their own words, but he kept the theme of the letter to bear out that supporting homosexuality. And he was saying, just write it in your own words, because a handwritten letter means so much. But he said, all we're trying to get these people to do right now is dialogue with us. And later on after that, along in 95, I helped film a movie with Warner Brothers Motion Picture Industry and came to know a lot of the people from California. And they let me know that a lot of the heads up there had homosexuals in their offices and things like that, and they had the ear of the decision makers there. And so there's a lot of influence that happens in media through that. Mm-hmm. And then the question I wanted to ask you, Jeff, was, and I have to say this too, well, you know, all that Satan did in the garden when he went up to Eve, it's he just dialogued with her. He didn't hold a gun to her head to have her take of the forbidden fruit. And but anyway, the question I wanted to ask you, maybe you might know, is why Charles Stanley, as he was hearing Andy, who initially started out talking about being against the Old Testament and things like that, and then he moved on into this, but Charles Stanley was still active in his ministry when Andy was speaking out and starting to speak out and for homosexuality in a vague way. Wonder why Charles, his first love being the Lord Jesus Christ, why he never spoke out against that, against his own son. He should have.
Well, it's a good question, Levi. I don't know. I'm assuming that they had conversations about that privately, but I don't know of anything publicly that Charles said. You know, he was always very affirming of Andy. You know, they had a big falling out when Charles got divorced, and it wasn't Charles's desire to be divorced, but you know, his wife divorced him, and he had said beforehand that if he ever got divorced that he would step aside, but then the church didn't want him to step aside, and Charles says this in his own testimony, but he stayed on, and he and Andy had a falling out from that, but they patched up their relationship. I don't know why he didn't say anything publicly. You know, he made it clear what he believed, but he never he never used Andy's name, you know, as like, well, my son doesn't believe this or anything like that. And so, you know, it could be, you know, in the Old Testament, you had Eli that didn't rebuke his sons. He was judged for that. He didn't rebuke his sons. And so I think it's hard for a dad to do that, especially publicly. I would hope that a dad would definitely do that privately, but yeah, it's a sad deal for sure. And Andy has tons of influence. And so he's going to have to give an account to God of how he stewarded his influence. I want to point people to Jesus, to his word, to surrender to his word, to his will, to his ways, and not encourage people to question that. Now, we have lots of questions when we come to the Word. Questions are good, but you always come to the Word with your hands lifted in surrender to God's ways. And when we run into something that we don't understand, we never come to the conclusion, God's Word is wrong and my way is right. It's always God's Word is right, and I just don't understand, but I still believe what God says. So John MacArthur pointed out how Genesis 1 and 2, well, anybody that reads that, apart from any other outside influence, you would say, how did God create the world? He spoke it into existence. How long did it take? 6 days. He rested on the seventh day. Oh, those days, are they geological periods that last for billions of years? Of course not. They're just days. And that's how the Lord did it. And that's why he said, you're not going to get evolution out of Genesis 1 and 2 because it's not there. And I like what Ken Ham says, you know, anybody that will tell you, any Bible teacher that will tell you, well, obviously the world is billions and billions of years old, and we don't believe in the 6 days of creation. Those were six periods. Well, they're not getting that from the Bible. And so I would rather be one that says, hey, I'm going to get truth from the scripture and go from there. So I appreciate your call, Levi, and good question for sure. We have our friend Lee from Virginia. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Okay, we can't get Lee. Let's go to Janet from Texas. Janet, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, you know, Andy Stanley, I got to thinking about everything he's doing. He is actually calling sin okay, because if he's saying homosexuality, he's been lied on it. He's not calling it an abomination in the eyes of God. I got to thinking about Jim Jones. the poison, he just poisoned the minds, drew them in, you know. And I'm not saying that Andy Stanley is a Jim Jones, but sin is the worst poison ever. And it will send you straight to hell. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Heavenly Father but by me. And in John, the first chapter, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And go down to 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him in his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Heavenly Father but by me. And I know of a testimony that I shared with a guy. He was an atheist. He said it was that very verse that brought him to the Lord. Amen. So it's the Word of God that will bring conviction and bring a person to the Lord Jesus Christ. And
amen.
It bothers me. I would encourage Annalee Stanley to show the film in his image to his whole churches.
Right. Yeah, we did that. It's interesting. We did that at First Baptist Texarkana, and we got picketed for that, and got blasted on social media. You know, we're a church filled with hate, not, you know, all the just the regular stuff that they do. And we're, if you've ever seen the movie In His Image, you know that it's a movie that speaks the truth in love, that's filled with hope and filled with love, but it does not sugarcoat the truth. It tells the truth. And I encourage pastors to watch it and show it to your church. And this is a big, big issue, and it's destroying people's lives. It's destroying homes. It's destroying families. And with all this gender-affirming care, which is just a nice way of saying we're going to butcher you, they're butchering kids at younger and younger ages. It's horrific. And you scar yourself for life, and you do have surgery to remove your breasts and do all sorts of other things and take these hormones. That stuff doesn't come back. You can chop off your arm if you want to and then ask God to forgive you, and he will, but your arm's not going to grow back. And so this is permanent, and it's ruining people's lives. So thanks, Janet, for calling in. Well, we have Ron on the line from Michigan. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thanks, Pastor Jeff, and thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Scripture does affirm, you've quoted, homosexuality to God is very definitely a sin. It's an abomination. But yet the truth of God's word, the hope, is when Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, he says, and such were some of you. There is no gay gene. And I'm not saying that there's any 1-2-3-step cookie-cutter way out. I'm sure it's very, very difficult and will take some time. But the truth of God's word says, and such were some of you. He also mentions drunkards very quickly, Pastor Jeff. We don't glorify drinking. We don't seek to affirm that. I'm not saying drinking, but alcoholism. We don't celebrate cigarette smoking, which causes lung cancer or COPD. So, not to say that it's easy in any of those three, but Scripture truly points out, God points out that it can change, and through him it will change. So that's my comment.
Amen. I appreciate that, Ron. That is so true. So 1 Corinthians 6, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. The Lord can forgive anyone of anything, provided you come to him in repentance and faith. You turn from sin and turn to the Savior. Well, David, I'm sorry we didn't get to you. We are out of time. But thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. Let me just encourage you, if you'd like to touch base with me, PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org, PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org, or you can connect on Twitter, which is now called X, at Jeff Shreve, JeffSchreve. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.